ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य
कृष्ण। Today we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 1, entitled The Activities of Maharaj Priyavrat, Text Number 30. The text is in prose, so we'll just read the text. Yavad avabhasayati suragirim anuparikramam bhagavan adityo वसुधातलम अर्धनेव प्रतिपति अर्धेना पच्छादयति तदाहि भगवत उपासनो पचिताति पुरुष परभावस्तत अनभिनंदन समजवेन रथेन ज्योतिर्मयेन रजनीम अपि दीनम करिष्यामीति सप्तकृत वस्तरनिं अनुपर्यक्रामत द्वितीय एव पतंगः। प्लीज रिस्पॉन्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन। यावत ट्रांसलेशन, व्हाइल सो एक्सलेंटली रूलिंग द यूनिवर्स किंग प्रियव्रत वंस बिकेम डिससैटिस्फाइड विद द सर्कमएम्बुलेशन ऑफ द मोस्ट पावरफुल सन गॉड। Encircling Sumeru Hill on his chariot, the sun god illuminates all the surrounding planetary systems. However, when the sun is in the northern, is on the northern side of the hill, the south receives less light. And when the sun is in the south, the north receives less. King Priyavrat disliked this situation and therefore decided to make daylight in the part of the universe where there was night. He followed the orbit of the sun god on a brilliant chariot and thus fulfilled his desire. He could perform such wonderful activities because of the power he had achieved by worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport by His Divine Grace Abhay Charanarvind Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada. There is a Bengali saying which describes that someone is so powerful that he can make the night day and the day night. That saying is correct because of the prowess of Priyavrat. His activities demonstrate how powerful he became by worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Krishna is known as Yogeshwar, the master of all mystic powers. In Bhagavad Gita 18.78, it is said, wherever there is the master of all mystic powers, Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, victory, fortune and all other opulences are present. Devotional service is so powerful. When a devotee achieves what he wants to accomplish, it is not by his own mystic power, but by the grace of the master of mystic power, Lord Krishna. By His grace, a devotee can accomplish wonderful things, unimaginable even to the most powerful scientist. From the description in this verse, it appears that the sun moves. According to modern astronomers, the sun is fixed in one place, surrounded by the solar system. But here you find that the sun is not stationary, it is rotating in a prescribed orbit. This fact is corroborated by Brahma Samhita 5.52. Yasyagnaya bhramati sambhrita kala chakraha. The sun is rotating in its fixed orbit in accordance with the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. According to Jyotirved, the science of astronomy in the Vedic literature, the sun moves for 6 months on the northern side of the Sumeru Hill and for 6 months on the southern side. We have practical experience on this planet that when there is summer in the north, there is winter in the south, and vice versa. Modern materialistic scientists sometimes present themselves as knowing all the ingredients of the sun, yet they are unable to offer a second sun like Maharaj Priyavrat's. Although Maharaj Priyavrat devised a very powerful chariot as brilliant as the sun, he had no desire to compete with the sun god. For a Vaishnav never wants to supersede another Vaishnav. His purpose was to give abundant benefits in material existence. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks that in the months of April and May, the rays of Maharaj Priyavrat's brilliant sun were as pleasing as the rays of the moon. And in October and November, both morning and evening, the sun provided more warmth than the sunshine. In short, Maharaj Priyavrat was extremely powerful and his actions extended his power in all directions. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodito Gaurodaya Pushpavanto Chitro Shando Tamanudo. While so excellently ruling the universe, King Priyavrat once became dissatisfied with the circumambulation of the most powerful sun god. Encircling Sumeru Hill on his chariot, the sun god illuminates all the surrounding planetary systems. However, when the sun is on the northern side of the hill, the south receives less light, and when the sun is in the south, the north receives less. King Priyavrat disliked this situation and therefore decided to make daylight in the part of the universe where there was night. He followed the orbit of the sun god on a brilliant chariot and thus fulfilled his desire. He could perform such wonderful activities because of the power he had achieved by worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So herein we find that how Maharaj Priyavrat is conducting his activities in the role of the emperor of the universe. Indeed, Maharaj Priyavrat is very powerful. In a previous purport, Prabhupada explains that it seems Swayambhuva Manu, the explanation given is that Swayambhuva Manu's son, Priyavrat, was in charge of Bhumandal, the Akhila Bhumandal. And Prabhupada says, this means in charge of all the planetary systems. And he mentions that Vaivasvat Manu, to whom the knowledge of the Gita was given long back by Lord Krishna, he does not seem to be so powerful enough, because he was in charge of only the earthly planetary system. So, Prabhupada mentions this point towards the end. Maharaj Priyavrat was extremely powerful and his actions extended his power in all directions. And he explains how a devotee is so powerful because he gets his power from the satisfaction that he offers by his service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When the Supreme Lord becomes pleased, he allows the devotee to manifest some of his vibhutis. Everything is manifested by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when he becomes pleased with his devotee, he uses his devotee as an instrument to manifest that power. Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Tara Pravartan. Prabhupada would often quote this verse explaining that how it is only by the Shakti or power of Krishna that one can achieve phenomenal feats, like the spreading of the Sankirtan mission. So here in this chapter we'll find that how there will be details of the activities of Maharaj Priyavrat, and finally they will conclude with Maharaj Priyavrat remembering the instructions that have been given to him by his spiritual master Narad Muni and handing over the charge of the administration of the universe unto his sons. He will take to the renounced order of life. The entire gamut of this material universe is so that the living entity can achieve the goal of the human form of life. In this very chapter, in a previous purport, Prabhupada explains that how Lord Brahma, the purpose of his being the secondary creator is to give a facility to the living entities to realize their spiritual constitution as part and parcel of Krishna, as God, and surrender to him. Since the nature of the living entity is to be attracted to variegated activities, especially in the conditioned state, one becomes very much attracted to supernatural powers. The Srimad Bhagavatam will explain in great details the activities of personalities who exhibit such supernatural feats, so much to the extent that Prabhupada ridicules the so-called feats achieved by the present-day scientists who claim that they are the best. This is the epitome, the topmost development of civilization. According to the scientists who explain the origin of life, their explanation is this evolution of the living entity as a bipod, as a human being, as a man, is the zenith of evolution. Beyond this, there is not much that can be achieved. One began from the primordial soup and now one has achieved its zenith. In other words, we are the best. And through the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada says that how foolish is this notion of the scientists to claim that they are the best. Like here in Prabhupada says, can the scientists make even a replica, a second moon, just as Maharaj Priyavrat had done, which was a second sun, and this second sun was much more powerful than the original sun. And can they do it without being competitive, without trying to be God? In the final paragraph, Prabhupada explains that Maharaj Priyavrata was not doing this in a competitive spirit. I want to be better than the sun god. He says it was only to offer material benefits, abundant material benefits. Can the scientists claim to do that? Can any living entity in the present age of Kali claim to do that? That is the crux of the whole situation. There is no problem in exhibiting supernatural feats, but if ultimately one explains that it is by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in a humble spirit and does not want to compete with anyone, then one becomes very famous eternally, like Maharaj Priyavrat. So the whole purpose of the Vedic literatures is to understand how one should be living one's life. We find that one of the progeny of the same great personality, Swayambhuva Manu, who had 5 children, 2 sons and 3 daughters. The sons were Priyavrat Maharaj, Uttanpad Maharaj, and the daughters were Srimati Akuti Devi, Srimati Prasuti Devi, and Srimati Devohuti Devi. And the explanation is given that Swayambhuva Manu was in charge of the whole universe. He was laying down the codes for everyone to follow. But still, he was such a perfect father and so much concerned for the welfare of his daughter that to find a suitable husband for his daughter Devahuti, he personally put her on his chariot and went around the universe to find a suitable husband. This is very unique. We find that in today's world, if there is a personality who has time for society, he has no time for family. He has time for family, he has no time for others. It is very difficult. And hence Prabhupada says that such personalities are very great. They are Rajarishis. They perfectly fulfill all of their duties. And hence Mahajan, They are the great personalities whom we must emulate and follow. So Svayambhuva Manu, he offered the hand of his daughter Devahuti to the great Rishi Kardama. And the training given to his daughter was such that although she came from a very opulent and almost obviously being a loved child, somewhat pampered background, she immediately adjusted to the situation of being with a husband who stayed in a forest even without a house. And then when the husband was pleased by her services and he offered her lot of material enjoyment, by his mystic powers Kardamuni Maharaj, he created a flying city. And for many years, he satisfied the desires of his wife. And finally understanding that she wanted a son, he benedicted her with a son. The great Kapil Muni. And we find that this great daughter of this great Mahajan, Svayambhuva Manu, at the opportune time, she approaches her own son and requests him. And it is by your Maya that I have been thinking that you are my son and I am your mother. I have been put into this illusion. But my dear son, you are just like an axe who can cut the tree of material existence. Kindly illumine me with transcendental knowledge. How is it that Devahuti, we see the daughter of Prasuti, Sati, she also explains so nicely to her own father Maharaj Daksha how it is difficult, how it is dangerous to offend a Vaishnava like Lord Shiva. We see Maharaj Uttanpad finally relinquishing the kingdom and taking to the renounced order of life. We find how Akuti Devi herself gave birth to one of the incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In detail, the lives of some of these personalities have been explained, and so much explanation of their activities in terms of what they did is being explained. But that is not what is the real issue. The real issue is that they were trained in such a way that they could inquire about the goal of life at the opportune moment and take it up. That is the greatness of all of these personalities. All their activities, even though it may appear to be tinged with some material motivation, seemingly, because they have been nicely trained and they have with a favorable disposition accepted a training and never forgotten it, each one of them has achieved perfection. When Kapil Muni was approached by his mother in such a way, Kapil Muni became very fascinated. Here I am the only son. The husband of my mother has gone to the forest, leaving her alone. And my mother approaches me, wanting to understand how to be detached from material life. This makes him smile. Iti so matur Niravadyam Ipsitam. Seeing that there was a very Niravadyam, uncontaminated desire. His mother was not simply speaking some flowery words, but with intensity she was asking her son, I want to be free from this attachment of thinking you are my son. I want to be free from my attachment that I am the daughter of Swayambhuva Manu. From this identity. So when he saw this uncontaminated desire within the heart of his mother, at that time, Kapila Muni, he decided to fulfill her desire. And it is explained that within his mind, he thanked his mother for giving him this opportunity. And with a beautiful, slight smile decorating his face, he explained to her the process by which she can achieve perfection. And he said, my dear mother, you should practice the process of yoga. You should be a yogi. And he explained, what is this yoga? He explained, yoga should comprise certain principles. It should have certain qualities. Yoga is defined by these qualities. The process of yoga. First of all, when one engages in the process of yoga, that process should be in connection to the Supreme Lord and the living entity. Then and then only it is yoga. It should have that connection. It should be related to the Supreme Lord and the living entity. Yoga adhyatmika pungsam. This yoga system should be related to adhyatmika, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and pungsam, to the living entity. In other words, yoga means the process where one realizes the self and the super self. It is a process where one understands the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the individual living entity. Yoga is not the process of simply understanding one or the other, or neither. If the practice of a certain activity is not linked with the Supreme Personality of God and the living entity, the self, then for that moment it is not yoga. There is no connection. We know yoga means yuj, connection, binding. Yes, one gets reconnected. It comes from the yuj dhatu. So what is this yoga? What is this connection? In the material world, the living entity's connection is with matter. It is bound by matter. And the entire idea in this material existence is to be independent and free. Many a times, we also corroborate this fact that yes, one must be free from material existence. But actually, another understanding of freedom is to be bound. To be bound in a relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that is what Prabhupada explains is the nature of Tatastha Shakti. It is either bound to the material universe or it is bound to the spiritual universe. To the Antaranga Shakti or the Bahiranga Shakti. That is the nature of Tatastha. It can never be independent. And the sooner the living entity realizes this, the better. So yoga involves the understanding of the living entity's position as being bound to the Supreme Personalities of Godhead. And that is what Kapil Muni is explaining. My dear mother, I am going to explain to you the process by which you will achieve perfection, and that process should have a connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entity. And that is so many times in simple words repeated, Jivere Swarupai Krishna Nitya Das. It simply means that any activity that we do which is termed as spiritual, the moment it has no connection with the self or the super self, it is not yoga. Then what is it? It is binding with the material nature. The living entity has to be bound. So it then becomes what activity? What is such activity termed as? An activity which does not have connection with the self or the super self, even though in the gamut of rules and regulations, rituals, definition of that, what is it? It is termed as karma, jnana or tapasya. External things. These are all bahya. It seems to be so-called religious. People are attracted to such religious activities. But they are simply karma, jnana or tapasya. And therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna urges Arjun, tapasvi bhyo dhiko yogi, jnani bhyo pi dhiko mata, karmi bhyascha dhiko yogi, tasmat yogi bhava Arjuna. Become an yogi. Not just a tapasvi or a jnani or a karmi. How is it bahya? Because all this simply relate to the function of the body or the mind. Activities which do not have the consciousness linked to the super self or the self, for the benefit of the super self or the self, in understanding of the self or the super self, are simply activities, bodily activities which are karma. Understanding of certain philosophical matter which does not directly give a realization of the self or the super self is really jnana. Therefore, it is said, philosophy is good, and it is nice to be a philosopher. But the best philosopher is one who knows when to stop philosophizing. Why is that? Because philosophy will logically lead you to what fundamental principles are saying, what they are indicating. Like the fundamental principle is Krishna is God, living entity is part and parcel of God. What does it mean? It means part and parcel to serve the whole. So that is philosophy. So philosophy means logical conclusion. But then, if one thinks that through logic one can lead to fundamental principles, then there is a problem. If I have a source and my source is there and his source is there, ultimately the source is God. What is the source of God? Now stop philosophizing. Because it is a redundant speculation. So yes, it seems very logical. But through such logic, fundamental principles are not established. But logic is useful. Because through logic one can understand what fundamental principles are leading us to. So jnana simply becomes jnana. And then based on such speculative tendencies, a person may become very austere and do a lot of tapasya. In the beginning of, just when I was introduced to the Krishna Consciousness Movement, some of the relatives became very much afraid. So they took me to some Baba, who had meditated in the Himalayas for so many years, so that he can produce some ash and some ingredients which will nourish my body and my mind to think otherwise. And this Baba, he knew some physiognomy. He saw the structure of the body. He saw certain points on this body. And he made certain predictions. You were like this before, you were like this, like that. And he made certain predictions with my parents, so on and so forth. So everyone was impressed. He knew. And he said, this I had gained by a lot of tapasya. My tapasya is so great that right now if I want, I can sit in meditation and communicate with my spiritual master who is in the Himalayas. Or even go and have his darshan. So I just, because there was just some beginning understanding of Krishna consciousness. I am not this body, I am this soul. And I said, ultimately it is actually the goal is that as a soul one should surrender to God, isn't it? God as a person. He said, all that comes after a lot of tapasya and understanding. Lot of tapasya you do, and then after that tapasya, the fruit is, you'll understand that maybe your soul and there is a God. And then you understand there is formless God. And I was thinking that absorbed totally in material activities, one book of Prabhupada immediately convinced me of the fact that I am spirit soul and part and parcel of God. I am this body, the Bhagavad Gita. So tapasya, which does not give a relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead or the living entity, is simply bahya. People are attracted by it. Yes? One devotee was talking to me recently and he said that he had been to Badrikashram and there he met a sadhu who was staying there for many years doing bhajan. And he approached the sadhu. And the sadhu was very kind. He welcomed him and said, "Will you like to have some tea?" And he said, "No, no, we don't take tea." "Then you take some food." And he said, "I only take offered food." And he said, "Yes, this is prasad." And then he asked him, what is the realization that you've got after so much years of meditation here in Badrikashram?" He said, "Ram naam hi sab hai. Everything is chanting the names of Lord Ram. That is all in this world." And the devotee said, that yes, and that is what we are doing. That is what we are doing. And this person, after so many years, has realized that that is the essence. And then we were discussing, and he said, some people will be so impressed that this sadhu has corroborated that Naam Sankirtan is everything. We want to be impressed by such people because we are impressed by the tapasya. We are not so foolish that we are not impressed by Prabhupada that so easily has given us Naam Sankirtan that requires so much tapasya by the sadhus to understand. Hence, when some devotees came to Prabhupada in Vrindavan and said, we were visiting some temples in Vrindavan and the pujaris there said, "You are doing so nice Naam Sankirtan, one day you will be born as a pujari and worship the deities here." And Prabhupada said, "Go back to them and tell them that because they are doing such nice deity worship, one day will take birth, next birth they will be born in the Hare Krishna movement and do Naam Sankirtan." See, the whole idea of yoga is that which immediately gives an understanding of the relationship between the self and the super self. Yoga adhyatmika pungsa mato nishreyasayame. Before that, this understanding, in a previous purport, Prabhupada says, Maharaj Priyavat had complete understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, of the living entity, the relationship between the two, the material universe and the relationship. Why? Sat-tattvataha. He knew that tattvataha because he had received it from a spiritual master. So the tattva jnani, the tattva darshi, as mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, the spiritual master is the person who initiates the living entity's process of yoga. He is a person who initially funds it, maintains the funding, and sees of the conclusion. Hence, the understanding of self and the super self in the process of yoga cannot be separated from the understanding of the spiritual master. Now, this topic of the spiritual master is quite vast and deep, but suffice it to say that today's present stylish gurus do not fit into the category of giving yoga because they do not give a relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the Self. The so-called popular gurus, they do not fit into this category. Mato nishreyasayame, the next quality that the process of yoga should have is, it should be beneficial to everyone. It should be of the ultimate benefit to everyone. Unless and until a process of yoga is offering an ultimate benefit to everyone, it is not yoga. Unless and until the process of this, of the chanting of the holy names is beneficial to everyone, it will not technically fall into the process of doing chanting, Harinam Sankirtan. When we do Harinam Sankirtan, Prabhupada explains that two types that we do Sankirtan. One is Japa and one is Harinam. Japa is meant for the benefit of the self, and Harinam is meant for the benefit of everyone else. And therefore he says, our movement is Harinam Sankirtan. Why? Because it is meant for the ultimate benefit of everyone. In Chaitanya Charitamrit, this is explained very clearly by the discussion between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Haridas Thakur. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Haridas Thakur, one day he came to him and said, my dear Haridas Thakur, these people in Kali Yuga are so fallen. They don't follow any Vedic principles, they are cow eaters. They are all Yavanas. I am disturbed. How will they be benefited in any way? I am concerned for them. And Thakur Haridas said, my dear Lord, even the Yavanas, they will be liberated simply by the chanting of the holy names. He said, the Yavanas are in the habit of chanting haram. These two words, ra and ma, are inseparable, and when they are beautified by the exclamation ha, which means oh my dear beautiful Lord Ram, so even that is accepted by the Supreme Lord, and he offers benediction to the person who's chanting in this way. The holy name is so powerful that in the stage of Namabhas it can eradicate all sins. And didn't it do that in the case of Ajamil? Ajamil was chanting the name of Lord Narayan, but was indicating his son. And didn't Ajamil get liberation, freedom from the Yamadutas? So my dear Lord, your appearance here and your establishing the Sankirtan movement and the loud chanting of the Sankirtan movement has delivered all the Yavanas. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, that is all right, but what do you think about the non-moving living entities? How do they benefit? He said, my dear lords, when you chanted loudly, the moving living entities, they heard and accepted it. And your words, when you were chanting loudly, it reverberated from the non-living entities like the trees and seemed like an echo. But it is not an echo. It was these non-living entities who were chanting loudly. It was their Sankirtan. And thus, I have heard from Balabhadra Bhattacharya that as you are passing through the forest of Jharikhand, you benefited both moving and non-moving living things. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, that means everyone is liberated, so everyone goes back, the universe will be empty. He said, my dear Lord, that is not the case. By your mercy, those who are developed living entities, they get liberated, and those who are not at age developed, you awaken them and give them a chance to be engaged in activities. And thus the universe becomes full again. Lord Ramachandra came here and he took everyone from Ayodhya back and again filled up Ayodhya. Similarly, Lord Krishna came here and he liberated the entire universe and again it was full. I know the benediction that was asked of you from Vasudev Datta. To fulfill his desire, you have liberated the whole universe, but again it is going to be full. And Haridas Thakur said, my dear Lord, you are performing all of these activities, but no one can understand how are you acting. I may claim to understand your activities, but personally my realization is that your activities are like an ocean, and I have no understanding of the length and breadth of this ocean. I don't even have an understanding of a single drop of this ocean. So, Yajnai Sankirtana Praye is not simply words. It is the process of yoga because it is beneficial for everyone. The moving and the non-moving living things. And then Kapil Muni says, Yoga Adhyatmika Pungsam Mato Nishreyasaya Me Atyanto Paratir Yatra Sukhasya Cha Dukhasya Cha. The next quality that the process of yoga should have, any process which can be termed as yoga, it should have is, it should give Atyanta Uparatihi. Ratihi means attachment, Uparati means detachment. Atyanta means complete detachment. Complete detachment from happiness and distress. Complete detachment from the phenomenon of illusion, dvandva, dualities. Honor, dishonor, joy, sorrow, longing, rejection, all these dualities should completely disappear. One should be totally detached from these dualities if one is sufficiently practicing a process which can be termed as yoga. Otherwise, there is something wrong with the process that one is practicing. It may not be yoga. And Krishna wants us to be a yogi in the Bhagavad Gita. He says, you have to be that yogi, Arjun. Very beautiful example is given of how one is free from duality. Today's world, people, what is that Chinese story? The story of four friends. They wanted to go for some treasure. They wanted some treasure in their life, wasn't it? And somebody told them, you go into these hills and after some distance you'll find a treasure. Be satisfied with it. You'll find the most valuable treasure. So the four friends walked and after some time they walked for quite a distance and they were tired. And when they came to a spot, they found silver there. So one of the friends said, I'm satisfied with this. I'll stay here. But the other three said, no, he said the most valuable treasure. There must be something more. Let us go ahead. So three of them walked further. They became more tired. Finally, they came to another place. They found gold. The second friend accepted gold and said, no, I'll stay here. I'm satisfied with this. The other two said, no, something much more valuable should be there. We'll go ahead. So they went ahead. After some time, they came to another place. They were really very tired because they're climbing into the hills up and up. They found diamonds. The third friend said, I don't think there's something would be much more valuable than this. He said, no, there must be something. These are all ordinary valuables. Something much more valuable. The first one found silver, he stayed back. But since we continued, we found gold. The second one stayed back. Since we continued to find diamond, I will continue ahead. And then he continued ahead and came almost to the peak of the mountain. There he found a man who had a big load on his back. And there was a sword dangling on his head which was cutting him. There was blood pouring down from his face. And seeing him, he was aghast and he said, who are you, my dear sir? What happened to you? And immediately that load came onto his back and the sword was on his head and he was bleeding. And this man who became free said, thank you very much. For millions of years I have been in this position. You must be coming from that person who told you there is a treasure here, right? He said, yes. But this is painful. He said, I know, I have experienced it for so many years. How to be free from it? Till another one comes. I got it from a previous one who was there. Prabhupada, this is very categorically understood and we understand Prabhupada's pastime when he went to die Nippon. And he approached one of the executives there, one of the workers. And he asked him, what is the goal of your life? And he took a pile of visiting cards. It was all the visiting cards of the executives above him. His card was down, he took it from below and put it up. This is the goal of my life. Everyone is aspiring to reach that. I am not satisfied now. If I reach there, I will be satisfied. And when he reaches there, it's a sword dangling. He is not satisfied again. And in a previous purport, we see how Maharaj Priyavrat, when he took over the responsibility on Swayambhuva Manu was relieved to give the administration to his son. He was relieved by this. And Prabhupada says, This is what Rajarshis are. They are not attached to either the happiness or the miseries of this world. So as I said, these personalities like Devahuti, Maharaj Priyavrat, Swayambhuva Manu, this is not simply some folklore or something that we should just read. But how can it be applied? How can it be applied based on Shastra, based on scriptures? That is the business. And finally, here Prabhupada says, a Vaishnava never competes. And this pastime of Haridas Thakur, where he liberates the prostitute, gives her so much benediction. It is explained that the prostitute, just see a situation. She was expert in leading people into material bondage. And by the mercy of Haridas Thakur, she achieved a level where she could free people from material bondage. And that is the power of the holy name. The chanting process, if we want it to be bhakti yoga, then we could see whether it fits these three qualities that is explained by Kapila Muni. Is our chanting always in the consciousness that it is in relationship to Krishna and myself? Is our chanting always based on the principle that this is going to be beneficial for all the living entities? And is our chanting always with the desire to be detached from the dualities of this material world? If not, it does not fall into the category of yoga, then where does it come to? Tatastha Shakti, material bondage. Binding here or binding there, one cannot be free, one is bound. And Prabhupada explains the quality of a Vaishnava. He says, Thakur Haridas, he told his disciple, the prostitute, you donate all of your money to the Brahmanas and the Vaishnavas. And Prabhupada says, a Vaishnava sometimes seems that he will have some relationship with money. But he is never dependent on anything other than the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A Vaishnava is never dependent on anything of this material world. But he will see how to utilize what a disciple has through him in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when one learns, one has the aptitude of engaging people without touching what they have, through them, for their benefit, in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is no question of ever being in a competitive spirit. Because one never has any connection to the thing that is being used or to objective that is being achieved. The material that is being used is belonging to someone else, and the glorification that will be achieved is by the person who is going to use it. And thus, a Vaishnava is always dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead and not on anything within this material creation. Hence in the Upadeshamrita, Prabhupada says, therefore, an Uttam Vaishnava should always accept donations because he knows how to use it in the service of Krishna without being contaminated by it. The fourth verse, Dadati Pratigrinati principle. So here we find the same thing with Maharaj Priyavrat. One may feel that one can also, if not to that level, at least to the level of one's domain, act in the same way, seemingly be attached, and at the opportune moment, one will be giving it up. That is possible when one is sufficiently trained up. As Maharaj Priyavrat was trained up by his father, he was trained up by his spiritual master, and then only to satisfy Lord Brahma, he took up that position. So the whole process that is given by Srila Prabhupada is this wonderful process of Sankirtan mission. It falls clearly into the category of Bhakti Yoga. It is directly related to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entity. It is beneficial for all the living entities, and it is offering full detachment from the dualities of this material world. Now the onus is on the performer to perfect himself in the process of yoga. Once Srila Prabhupada, his disciples were praising him, and they said, "Prabhupada, we are so thankful to you that you have brought us back home, back to Godhead, to the lotus feet of Krishna." And Prabhupada said, "No, I have shown you the way how to go back to Godhead, to the lotus feet of Krishna. Now you should go back home, back to Godhead." So the onus is to try to, on the individual, to practice the process of yoga and not fall into the trap of either karma, gyan or tapasya. Because Krishna categorically states, "I don't want you to be this Arjun, I don't want you to be this Arjun, I don't want you to be this Arjun, I want you to be a yogi." And when Krishna says that yogi, he says, he qualifies that. What is that yogi? One who is engaged always in remembering me. And finally, give us places in reality, there is this verse in the Garuda Puran which will open quite a few eyes. That out of thousands of Brahmanas, that person is great who knows perfectly how to perform yajnas. Out of such thousands of perfect yajna performers, he is great who knows the Vedanta. Out of thousands of such Vedantis, hundreds of such Vedantis, he is great who is a devotee of Lord Vishnu. And out of thousands of Vaishnavas, he is great who is Ananya, or completely fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna. So this Sankirtan movement is meant for that Ekanto Ek. Brahmana Nam Sahasrebhya Satrayaji Vishishyate, Satrayaji Sahasrebhya Sarvavedanta Paraga, Sarvavedanta Vittukotya Vishnu Bhakta Vishishyate, Vishnu Vaishnavanam Sahasrebhya Ekanto Eka Vishishyate. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions anyone has? Any doubts? Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.